I have a card right here for you, and in a moment, I'm going to ask that you tell me what this playing card is, okay? This card.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, look right here. It is not the Ace of Spades, nor is it the King of Hearts. What card do you think this card is?
It's not the Ace of Spades nor King of Hearts.
Yeah.
Do you want me to just
Just
guess
name,
whatever?
yeah, just guess whatever the card is.
Should I tell you?
Yeah, out loud. It's right here.
Eight of Spades.
Oh, eight of spades. Now, maybe I incepted you to think of eight of spades. But I'm going to bring this a little bit closer and take the clip off. Do you see this right here? Right there. Let me just get that to focus.
Yeah,
There is an
it's
eight
the.
there. Do you see that eight?
Wait, you gotta be kidding me. I. What?
And then there's a spade right there. Do you see that?
Oh, how? Yes, I mean, I do see it.
There
Oh, I
is an
see.
eight of spades.
You gotta be kidding me! Hi everyone, Richard Yan here. Welcome back to Chinatown 2.0, a show about Chinese immigrants thriving. Today, I interviewed my friend and a professional magician, Dan Chen. Dan used to be an early employee at a small startup called PayPal. You might have heard of it. And he became a professional magician performing all over the world after a brief stint at PayPal. He has performed for an impressive Rolodex of guests, including Elon Musk. Today, we talked about his unusual career path for an Asian American. We talked about how he dealt with the pandemic by doing magic on Zoom. We talked about his way of being a tiger dad in training his son to become a magician. We talked about his hope of creating an exclusive VIP clubhouse magic in the Bay Area. I hope you enjoy listening to today's episode. Feel free to like, share, and subscribe. Daniel Chen, let's get into it. So, you are a magician. I can't say I know any other magician, let alone a magician of Chinese descent in Silicon Valley. So, you used to work for PayPal once upon a time, right? And that was even before Elon Musk joined the crew.
Yep, technically before Elon Musk, because X.com, which is a company he founded, merged with Confinity PayPal shortly after I joined. So technically, I worked there before Elon.
So you were only at PayPal, I think, for less than a year, I believe, or maybe slightly over the year.
Yeah, 13 months is what I vested in terms of my stock options, and then I got laid off.
And then you pursued the act of magician full time,
Yep.
right? Is that correct?
Yes.
So what happened? Was Peter Thiel really that terrible of a boss?
Oh no, he's a nice guy. He just invited me
Yeah.
to his party.
20-year anniversary
Yep.
at PayPal.
And I met Elon and Peter again this last weekend.
I saw the picture. Yeah, so tell me about your experience at PayPal, how you turned full time, and what Peter Thiel had to say about it.
I remember in my interview, I mentioned I was a magician, and immediately afterwards,
Your job interview at PayPal.
at my interview, I tell them I'm a magician, and they're like, "Can I see a magic trick, or is that okay?" And I was secretly wanting them to say that. And when they did that, I came prepared. I showed one trick to my interviewer, and then they were like, "Is it okay if I have some friends? Can I just bring them in? Other guys we're working with?" And I say, "Yeah, sure." And at the end of doing all my tricks, I tell them, "If you hire me, I'm gonna make every Friday afternoon the best and most exciting thing ever." And they're like, "Deal." And I actually broke that deal because I would do Monday through Thursday magic tricks as well, because I was telling them, "Oh, you might not get work done because of all the
Man.
fun we're having." So.
Yeah, so then what happened? 13 months, went by, and were you just like, I want to do magic tricks on Saturdays and Sundays too?
I really wanted to quit, and I wasn't happy, and I was telling my mom that, and she was like forcing me to stay, and I was like, "Oh."
Yeah.
She said, "Don't quit,
Typical
don't
Asian
quit." And
moms.
then they laid me off and they gave me a 1 month severance, and I was happy. I was actually really happy. I saw people walking out crying, but I was just like, "Oh, yes, I can go." 'Cause I felt like I was a faker, imposter syndrome, because instead of doing finance, which I wanted to do mergers and acquisitions and things like that. But I didn't have the soft skills, nor did I have any knowledge.
Yeah.
And no one mentoring me there because everything was happening so fast.
Well, let's dive into it. So you quit 13 months later.
More like laid off, but almost the same thing, right?
Yeah. And then you went into becoming a magician. What were you doing back then? That was like 1999, 2000?
Yeah.
What were your acts? Where were you performing? It wasn't Zoom magic back then, yeah. Right? Like, how would you acquire your customers and so forth?
I would go from libraries, and there was a library showcase that you'd go to called a performer showcase. There, in yeah. the beginning, there was Craigslist, and when Yelp started, I was an urban.
What city was this library showcase?
It's in San Leandro.
Is this sort of like, you know, libraries nowadays have open mics for artists and musicians and so forth? Was it sort of like that?
Kind of. With open mics, they don't pay you, but with these, they advertise it either once a week during the summer or maybe once a month. They'd have an activity or program, and the performers do get paid. Okay. And they'd get paid like something, a sum of like $250 to maybe $500, depending on how good you were. And there's a library circuit, and you just go around in the library circuit.
Meaning libraries of different towns, like Los Gatos and Fremont and San Francisco and so forth?
Yeah. Monterey County was a big one I used to do. I think they had at least 15 or 22 libraries. Fresno as well. They actually have that. So you do probably two or three in a day, and then you do several days in a row.
I mean, was that enough to sustain a living for you?
Yeah.
Compared to your job at PayPal?
Yeah, back then, I think I was making even more than PayPal. PayPal was making probably $32,000 a year. And then okay. I did the math, and I said, if I did a show at $250 a pop times four in a week, I could make $1,000. I'd make $52,000 in a year. And then there's also weekends where you do birthday parties.
Yeah.
And birthday parties aren't too bad as well.
So back then, internet was just taking off. How were people finding you? Through Yellow Pages or like just word of mouth? Like, oh, call this guy. This is my, people write your name and number on some sticky notes.
Yeah. As I've gone through, business cards mean less and less because people yeah. will scan your QR code or remember your name or write down your name. But in the beginning, it was Yellow Pages. And I actually advertised in the Yellow Pages. And I remember back in the day, I would do like three cities or three counties, a year contract. And at that time, we had Craigslist. And everyone was moving on to Craigslist and then being on Google. And I looked at the source code of a website that did really well. And I just cut out like the meta stuff and the description. And I just replaced it with all my stuff. And when I did that, it bumped me on the top of Google. But the problem that I had was the website looked really crummy. And all my yeah. competitors had nicer websites. So they get the nicer things because I was a young guy who didn't really understand the image aspect of it.
Okay, so you talked about competition. I'm curious, right? $250 a pop, that's not bad. So the library circuit, what's the demand and supply like? I imagine lots of magicians would want to apply for a position or a opportunity to perform, right? So what was competition like?
There's a lot of guys out there, a lot of guys who beat me in competition, but I knew that I was going to do something different. So I was a magician and juggler. And the juggling kind of set me apart. I would also have a live dove. I'd go the extra mile to do a lot of different things. For birthday parties, I would do balloon twisting. And I even went to the circus school in San Francisco and I studied from the Clown Conservatory. But that taught me how to be transparent and authentic and not hide behind the trick.
Wow. Clown Conservatory. Okay. That's a combination of words I don't hear that often. This is in San Francisco, you said?
Yes, a 9-month clowning program where I did acrobatics, clowning, miming, puppetry, and many other skills. And the reason why I decided to do that was Penn Jillette from Penn and Teller said that he went to clown school and it was essential for him. So I just said, he's successful. He did that. Why don't I do it? And it was really fun.
So let's roll back a little bit. Like you said, your mom wanted you to stay at PayPal, right? Totally understandable position. But how did you get into magic in the first place as a kid? And as you got more and more serious into magic, were your parents ever worried about your schooling and, you know, whether you're going to get a regular job like a regular person?
My parents were separated and my mom would always be worried about me because I didn't really like studying.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd be happy with the B. I'm kind of like coasting.
Yeah. That's an Asian F.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
My brother did really well. He would be 4.48 GPA, 1560 SAT, which when it was out of 1600.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Kind of like when someone's ahead of you, you kind of give up. You're like, oh, he's already doing that space. Let me stay in my own lane.
This is an older brother?
Younger. And that's the worst part because he's younger.
Okay. So you kind of just decided that magic was your thing. So you kept practicing it and you were probably doing it in front of your friends, performing at school and dreaming one day, this is what you're going to be doing full time, right?
Yeah.
And then PayPal was more like a detour.
Yeah. Which is actually good to have some detours, because when I started pitching magazines right now, I mentioned the Elon story, and it helped me get on the radar of these tech publications. Like when I worked the BuzzFeed thing or Business Insider four times, Wall Street Journal, everyone knows who Elon is. And when you show a picture of Elon, you're like, everyone's kind of interested. And I did that recently. I just took a picture with Elon this weekend.
Yeah. So that was at the 20-year PayPal anniversary. The PayPal mafia was all there.
Yeah.
I assume. Yeah. Right?
Many of them. Yes.
What tricks did you do for them?
I did some classics, and then I also customized some tricks. Since leaving PayPal, I actually worked for every company from Airbnb and Apple to Zillow, Zoomimingo, and Zuckerberg General Hospital. So I made these cards that had logos, and then I would do, it's a trick where you get a name drop at the same time. It's a mind reading trick. I can't do it for you on Zoom, and I don't want to spoil the surprise. So if you see me live, you'll probably see me do it, because that was a trick I invented.
You've done this trick in front of me before, remember? That's when we met. But yeah, you had the names of companies written on cards, and you were narrating these stories about how you were able to guess which company I had in mind.
And the cool thing about that was I even fooled Peter with that effect.
Was at the party?
Yes. He was actually the host of the party.
Where was this? Was this Bay Area?
In Bel Air.
Tell me about how you got your son started in the magician's career.
I always look about reverse engineering things and reverse engineering success. So early on, I knew I wanted to teach my son everything I knew. So I taught him how to juggle 3 balls by age 5, 5 balls by age 8. Age 10, he was juggling 3 flaming torches and picking pockets. By age 12, he was on national television twice.
Whoa. Picking pockets, age 12?
Yes.
Right, okay. But returning them, hopefully.
Yes. And we have videos of that on our YouTube channel. So if you just search Dan Chan YouTube channel or Dan Chan Magic, you'll find videos of him picking people's pockets.
Well, I mean, was this in San Francisco? Because like that could easily confuse people. That could be just the regular San Francisco experience.
Absolutely. But we showed the magic tricks prior, and then we warmed up to it by saying, hey, are you a good sport? That way we wouldn't get punched or anything.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, he's got to learn Taekwondo as well to defend himself. So keep going. So you wanted to replicate the success. You reverse engineered your accomplishments, and he's taking it on. Is he your only child?
No, I have my daughter, Grace, who's following in my wife's footsteps, and she's doing a little bit of balloon sculpting now.
Balloon sculpting?
Yeah.
Is that similar to balloon twisting?
It is, but on a larger scale.
Man, you guys just don't have like a single boring family member. I was hoping like you're like, oh, she's following my wife's footsteps. She's going to be an accountant or a lawyer. She really likes taking tests and correcting people's grammar. So that's why she's going to Harvard Law School in the fall. But no, she's doing balloon sculpting. Way to defy the stereotype, man. So these magic tricks, have you had any flops, any epic failures? What's an example of you saving grace as a result of failure?
There's a different ways to handle it. Sometimes if you fail at a specific place or someone heckles you at a specific place, you learn. Right now, I honestly don't fail that often because I perform so much. So I don't really remember it. Yeah. And it doesn't faze me because it doesn't bother me because I just move on to the next trick. My thing is to fail in safe spaces. Like if you were to fail in front of lots of people or it's the first time you fail, it can be debilitating. So what I do when I coach people is I say, start with your strongest thing and then sandwich it. If you fail, put something else that's really good. Don't like try new things all the time. Sandwich it in between two solid places. And now you have booked in so people can forget about what's in between.
So Zoom magic, right? The pandemic, how did that affect you? Did you have to pivot?
I was devastated. And honestly, I would never go online on a podcast or have the equipment to do stuff like this. And because I started become like a digital native because of pivoting, doing these Zoom shows. I went on podcasts and I started meeting people from all around the world. But the cool thing about it was I did 520 plus shows now over Zoom. I've done 52 shows in a week and 12 shows in a day. I've done 8 shows back to back on the half hour. I would hit the intro, I would perform, I would hit the intro for my son. My son would perform while I would go eat and use the restroom. And then when he's done, I came back and then I do the rest of my show. And then I help hit the outro video. I'd have 1 minute to turn, 1 or 2 minutes to turn things over. And then we start the show again every half an hour. Bam, bam, bam. Can never done that with live events.
What is your main way of acquiring customers these days?
A lot of people find me through these articles that go online. And then sometimes it's YouTube titles where it's long tail optimized.
I see. So you're finding people mostly through online channels.
Yeah.
What about these corporate events? Do they recommend you to their other colleagues in other companies that also do event planning?
Yeah, there's about 5 or 10 agents who use me regularly throughout the year. So with agents, they just are so familiar with your work and they're happy to pitch you.
I see. And then they take a cut from your performance, right?
Everyone takes a cut. Whether it's an online platform or agent, they all take something.
So you also have this idea of recreating some kind of magic castle experience.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
It's a magic club that's exclusive where when you walk in, you say open sesame to an owl and then the bookshelf slides to the side. And that's the original concept of the one in Hollywood. But I want to kind of update that and bring that to the Bay Area. And inside the castle, they have a lot of kind of gimmicky stuff. I personally wouldn't do any of these things because it's been done before. But I have other things that I want to do that's very modern. Like you might sit in a chair at the Magic Castle and you don't notice over time it sinks at the bar. So then you look around and everyone's taller than you. There's another gimmick where there's a table and it's a circular table. And when you misdirect them, someone else has a button to make the table rotate. And then their beer kind of runs away from them. So if you're talking to them, you're like talking and they look up, they're not looking. And you can make it move a couple inches or completely around.
Wow. I mean, the thing about magic is you always want to give people fresh experiences, right? If it's a private exclusive club, when people come in a month from their previous visit, do things change completely for them?
There's buying cycles for things like that. And the Magic Castle changes their entertainment every week. I was actually thinking of a hybrid model where illusionists would stay a lot longer so they don't have to drive their illusions. Like, for example, someone from Texas or Missouri coming over, it's not worth it for them to come over for a week.
Yeah.
So if you gave them a 3 months or 6 month contract, they could stay longer. But the close-up guys, they could just kind of pass through and do a trick, some smaller close-up tricks, and they can have shorter contracts. But the Magic Castle doesn't have that flexibility because they've just been entrenched in doing the things the way they've been doing it for a long time. So I'm trying to disrupt the business model, take the parts I like, and then eliminate the parts I don't. Like, for example, it's kind of cutesy. And when I was young, it would be interesting to see stuff like this. When you walk into the bathroom and the urinal, it would start singing, "It's a Small World After All." That to me is kind of funny, but also tacky.
Okay. That's your experience from the Magic Castle in Los Angeles?
Yeah. And I want to create something. It might be entitled The Magic Mansion.
What is the audience portrait? Like the typical person that would patronize this? What does that person look like? Is it a family? Is it like a 50-year-old divorced executive? Is it a 30-year-old yoga teacher? Like what kind of people are you looking to attract to this exclusive club?
VP level people who entertain people, like sales staff. Like for example, if you do a lot of selling like real estate, you might be a member and you would be an associate member. And then there's magician members. Magician members come in at a lower price point because they're the backbone of the club. They are the talent. They contribute by performing. The associate members contribute with their finances and the fund to kind of like be a patron of the arts. Instead of donating to the opera or other things, you're donating to a club. And when you come in, you get this welcome home experience. When you get greeted by the gentleman right at the door, and they see your pin, they say, "Welcome home."
You could theoretically get the place booked out for corporate outings as well, team building exercise.
Exactly. That's part of my business plan. I haven't shared that yet, but because I've done so much in the Bay Area, I've worked on cruises for these large ships. I've been to places that are very themed, like wineries and escape rooms and things like that. So I have connections with all these people. And if you create an experience that's a full evening, people are willing to drive there, whether it's driving to Napa or driving to some place closer to Saratoga, a winery. So I think the ideal place would be somewhere around Saratoga, because we have Apple and Facebook and Google all in that area. But if it's a great experience, I know people will travel to Napa, because evidenced by Thomas Keller's success in Napa, people will drive for a good food experience.
Let me ask you about your son, who is a budding magician. What do you guys have in mind in terms of his career development? What's he going to do? Is he going to be a full-time magician?
He might take over the venue if we get that off, because you're not going to just have one magician in that.
How old is he now, by the way?
He is 14.
14. Is he enjoying what he's doing?
Yeah, he loves it now.
He loves it, yeah.
Really loves it.
How does this interact with his schoolwork? I assume he's still in school. He has to go to class and so on, too.
Yeah, I built him up the last 3 years while he was homeschooling. This year, he's going back to regular high school. So I'm cutting down the amount of work and asking multiples of what we used to, and people surprisingly are still saying yes to it. So he booked a second solo $1,000 gig, which is pretty amazing.
Wow. And was he being homeschooled because he's got the magician's curriculum?
Well, last year and the year prior, there was lots of opportunity. Like, we would pull him out for school for filming Tiffany Haddish's Kids Say the Darndest Thing, where he was doing illusion.
Man, this is such unusual childhood. I'd love it if I was growing up that way.
Yeah, you might not enjoy the first 2 or 3 years, because we fought a lot and I was a tiger dad. I think from age 3 and a half to maybe 5, I was forcing him to do it, like tiger
dad.
Yeah,
well, you know how to do that. You're Chinese. But you said from 2 and a half to 5, you were a tiger dad, because you said by age 5, he was able to juggle 3 balls.
Yep.
And then by the age of however old, he was able to juggle multiple fire flames.
Yep. I kind of let him slack a little bit now on the performance, because I feel like unless we're doing television, people aren't going to pay significantly more for him to do stuff unless he's working for, you know, high profile clients all the time. So I've kind of let off the gas, because I'm just letting him be a little bit of a kid or catching up on some of that. So otherwise he would probably have his own TV show if I didn't let up, but I'm a lot nicer, because I'm Americanized, as you know. Like, you know, Americanized guys live in America too long and they get soft.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, where's our next crop of great magician coming from with soft dads like you?
Yeah.
So besides trying to get the Magic Castle started near Fremont and training your son to be the next David Blaine, and obviously working on your other magic tricks and getting booked, like, what are some other big ticket priorities for you right now? It doesn't have to be magic related.
One of the things is I wanted to become a better speaker. So I decided to go on podcasts. And then I also want to do a TED talk and write a book. And the book is going to have magic tricks in it. So when people do hire me, I'm going to do a trick with the book and then I'm going to hand it to them and they can read the story. Because most people see me as a guy who does tricks, but they never hear the interesting stories about me killing rattlesnakes, 3 rattlesnakes, and skinning them alive and eating salmon hearts while they're still beating, and crazy stories like that, which are all true, but I don't get to talk about it. Otherwise, it just becomes derailed. They hire me for magician, but they didn't hire me to tell stories.
Wow, skinning rattlesnakes and eating exotic animals. That I feel right at home. but seriously, though, that's pretty cool. Do you have a vision for how your life is going to unfold? This is a list of things I want to do before I move on. Or do you just sort of go by the flow? Like, as in, if you don't accomplish those things, do you feel a sense of remorse? Do you feel you'll be kicking yourself at old age? Or do you just feel, you know, I'm just going to do whatever pleases me, and therefore, even if these things don't end up happening, it's not a big deal?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, oh, it's not the right timing. Like for the Magic Castle or many other things, it took me a long time to win competitions, but I lost like 4 competitions really early on. And then I just went to a different place and competed somewhere else and I won. You don't let that set you back, because life will disappoint you. If I had a lot of goals, like being in Magic Magazine, and I wanted my wife to be in Balloon Magazine, and then my son to be in Juggle. But honestly, magicians don't pay your bills. Other jugglers don't pay your bills. They hire you for a conference that pays very little. And that doesn't matter. But when I ended up on Business Insider 4 times, or The Hustle, or BuzzFeed, those people paid my bills, right? The corporate audiences. So I just think sometimes it's not the right timing, or it's a, can be a circuitous path into the future.
Well, Dan, it's great talking to you, man. Not every day I get to talk to a magician and peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again for having me. Really appreciate it.